Everybody, welcome to Shift and Steer. It's episode 438. Man, we just keep knocking those numbers down. There's so many episodes behind us, but we have everyone here today. And today, you know, stick around because we have a guest. We're going to be talking about Downey's dream cars. You know, Robert Downey Jr., he built all those cars on his Max TV show, and now they're giving them away. We're going to give you all the details and have a very special guest on the show to talk about it. Hey guys, one thing before we get going, I want to bring up one thing. Last week we spoke about the muffler men and how we never see them. We talked about things that you don't see on road trips anymore. And damn it, I went to Arizona, I came around a corner and there was a muffler man. So I had to jump out of the car and take a picture with the muffler man. And I will post that on the Shift Steer Media Instagram page so that y'all can see it, because he was a perfect one. I'm looking at Charlotte, goes, okay, now what's the deal here? And I go, well, look at his biceps are made out of little catalytic converters, and then it's exhaust tubing. And I said, his body is a big truck muffler. And you know, it's just, you know, the way they laid it out was really cool. And we were just talking about it, and it was quite literally like around the corner from my mom's house. There was a little muffler and tire shop, and they had him standing out there. And I was like, how perfect. So
how often do you just drive around like to Arizona and back with Charlotte? And you're like, oh, I got to stop, there's a muffler man. Or, oh, I got to stop, there's an abandoned gas station. And she's just sitting there going, whatever, I don't even care now.
I know. She's like,
it's been so long. Somebody
about jumping out and taking a picture with a muffler man. I said, no, not at all. It's for the show. It's for the listeners.
Do whatever you want. You've been stopping and looking at crap on the side of the road for years.
She'd rather have me do that than go, oh, look at that Schwinn for sale in that yard. Or,
let's go buy
Camaro.
That.
Or, you know, I mean,
we stopped on the side of the road and jumped on a metal pig or something, right?
Exactly. You could be doing that, riding a metal pig, Aaron.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was. That was a great photo.
Aaron got to drive a really cool car, and I want to get into that. But before we start, let me tell you guys about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to your online casino and get in on the game, or blackjack or poker, or unwind with any of your favorites. Of there's 150 different slot games that they have as well. So head on over to the website today to get in on the action. And don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE for 50% off your welcome bonus. BELIEVE, it's BLEAV for 50% off. Bet Online, the game starts here. All right.
Well, wouldn't that be BLOV?
Hey, as long as you spell it right, Aaron. Hey, before Aaron tells us about that really rad car that he drove, I want to tell you, I rented a car to drive to Arizona.
Okay.
And I rented...
You have a warehouse full of cars, but sure, go ahead.
I know, but... tell you what, I had, you know, I'm still clearing out my mom's house, and this is why I rent a car. Exactly for this reason. I had some old stuff that I had to take to the dump. Have you ever been to a real landfill dump?
Yes, but not in a long time. Okay. Actually, the last one I went to was in Arizona.
Yeah. I have been to, like, you know, places like you, recycling centers, things like that. This was, they had the bulldozers driving around. And they go, oh, just follow the flag truck up the hill. I'm like, okay. And it was a nice little dirt road. Then all of a sudden you come around the corner and you are in the landfill, and there's like pieces of metal sticking up. There's like this, that, and,
and I'm seagulls. Like,
man, I'm glad I'm not in, seagulls. I'm glad I'm not in one of my cars. Cause I mean, it was spinning tires. It was, you know, and I'm seeing all these guys out there dumping stuff. And
that's what I remember. It's like a bunch of other pickup trucks and stuff. Just dumping stuff out there.
Yeah. And, but I will say, I was very impressed with the truck that I drove. This time I rented a 4x4 Ford F-150 Sport. And, pretty nice. Seats were comfortable. The, had great pickup. It was great driving, down the freeway, and it worked at the dump. So,
well, yeah. I gotta say, that sounds like a great backdrop for the car I drove. What a cool photo session that would be.
Yes, had it right there. Well, go ahead, lay that one on us, because that was awesome.
Hey, can you roll up your windows? It's a little ripe out here. Oh, sorry, I can't. There are no windows. There's no roof, and there wasn't even a windshield. We had to wear helmets. Yeah, if we can jump right into it. So I was invited to, I had like 8 events I could have gone to. I didn't end up going to Sammy's Beach Club. Oh, I forget what it's called now.
Sammy's Island Resort.
Well, there's so many versions, and there's a big agenda for so many versions. Yeah. I didn't do that because Dad said it was going to be tough, accommodations, blah, blah, blah. It was the gentleman's ride all over the world, and I've been dying to do that. It's on my bucket list on motorcycles and suits, and it's so cool. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do the Arizona Overland Expo in Arizona. I couldn't do that. There was all these things I wanted to do. But yeah. I did say yes to the 916 Exotics group. My friend Jeff Miller said, hey, I want you to come to this event. I've been trying to get you here, and I want you to drive my McLaren Elva. And I'm like, what is that? So I Googled it. And I'm like, holy shit, yes. He said, bring a helmet. I went, huh? So I got to drive Mr. Miller's McLaren Elva. What a unique machine. This is a 2020. They made less than 150 of them. I think they're originally going to build like 500 and they didn't get any orders. It's a very obscure car, literally no windshield. It's a complete roadster. It is an assault of the senses in the best and worst of ways. Leno talked about it on his show. Our friend, Matt Farah, talked about it on his show. Everybody's talked about it. And it is quite an experience. And me being a roadster guy, I love that classic style of minimal windshields. This is based on the original Bruce McLaren and M series, right? Were the old race cars? I forget what they are, but anyway, beautiful, beautiful cars. I don't know much on McLaren.
Perfect this was color for that car too.
Yeah, it's the McLaren yellow, I guess. It's a yellowy orange. It's a beautiful color. And, all of Jeff's cars are pretty bright and pretty intense. He goes for very rare specs and allocations that he gets. He specs out the cars in a very unique way so that they stand out and they're desirable, to the
what
audience.
What did he drive, Aaron?
He drove a what are those hyper electric cars from Croatia. Yeah.
Rimac.
He drove a Rimac.
Oh, really?
A time attack Rimac. I mean, wow. And his daughter drove his Bugatti.
Was his Rimac green?
Yes. It's that weird forest green and black. Well, the black part is carbon. I mean,
I read it about a little while ago about the first one being delivered to the United States, and
it's his car.
It was green and they delivered it. I didn't know it was his, but yeah, I think he's got the first one delivered here.
I think the only one yet. I don't know that there's another one that's been delivered yet.
You might be right. They've only delivered a handful of cars. And I think that was the first, not just the first one delivered here, but I think it was, might've been the first production car they produced and delivered. So
yeah.
Jeff, I don't know what you're going to do to get on that list, but good for him.
Jeff's a big player. He's an interesting guy. I met him through some friends. He was interested in purchasing Dad's LaFerrari, and we had some deals cut, but Dad, the values kept changing, and Dad wanted to be up on the values, and we couldn't come to a number that worked. But Jeff and I became buddies, and we have a lot of mutual friends. But I'm not part of the supercar hypercar world, man. I was definitely out of my element. I was definitely feeling strange. We drive up to the event at this gentleman's house. I think it's the fourth or fifth event. An annual event, and I think a Super Sunday is what it was called, and everybody's flying drones or buzzing us everywhere, and there's just, it's just lined with photographers all under the age of 22, and it's just it was pretty, it was fun. It's not my scene, But I met some nice people, and I got to drive that fantastic car. Every car there was a Lamborghini or a McLaren, or there was a few Bugattis, a handful of Ferraris, but I'd say Lamborghini, McLaren, definitely. I think there were three Porsches.
Yeah,
it's a different crowd.
Just those pedestrian cars that got in the way.
I mean, I don't know how much you got to kind of lean on that car, but it's 804 horsepower, and it's 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. I mean,
it's like 2,000 pounds. I mean, they were able to take
basically like a 720S and then turn up the wick on the power a little bit, lighten the car a little bit, and you know, like you said, no windshield. I mean, no roof.
From my research, I think that they actually took a lot from the Senna. It seems that they took a lot from the Senna.
I'm sure.
And let me tell you, I didn't put my foot all the way in it because I really didn't have to. Now, this is a $2 million car, folks. This is definitely out of my play league and out of my, I'll drive it. Normally, I would absolutely say no. I won't drive anything that I can't afford to fix. That's kind of my rule. And this is definitely, you know, things all carbon fiber. I think it's beautiful. It was ergonomically actually very comfortable. It wasn't too hard to get in and out of. I think a Lotus Elise is harder to get in and out of.
Well, there's no roof on it, so it's not like you have to duck into it. The car is low, but you have to.
It's still compact, and the door opening is very shallow and very slow. The doors kind of fold forward and out, almost like the LaFerrari.
You use the doors? You should have just done like a Starsky, man, across the hood and slid right in.
Sure. Or across the back. Yeah. Ride the hump and plop right in.
You know? Body kind of wrinkles. Of course.
I know. That this is how silly I am about these things. I tried to step in my footprint every time I got in and out of the vehicle, just so I didn't leave an extra mark.
courtesy
to the max, you know.
I went to the like LA debut of this. They rented
the launch.
Yeah, they rented like a $35 million house in the Hollywood Hills, and they do a press event ahead of time, and then it's a customer event. They bring all their high end customers, and they host this amazing cocktail party, and they had some cars scattered around on the house, and then they had this in the garage, and they made a speech about it. And in kind of the front entrance, like lobby of the house by the floating staircase was dinosaur replica bones. It was like a T-Rex bones. And you ask them, like, is it real? Is it real? And they go, well, you know, they're like, there's like a handful of the bones and part of the skull that are real. Then the rest was just sort of completed to make, you know, like you would in a museum. And like, well, whose house is this that it has a T-Rex in it? It was a cool event, but yeah, when they explained to me that there's no complimentary maintenance on the car, I was out.
That was the tipping point, right?
Yeah. They said,
what was that same day? Because there were two events on the same day and I was invited to both, but I had to be to the other event early. Do you remember what that was?
I don't remember what it was.
It was some other equally like crazy event, and I was like, damn it, I want to go. I want to see the T-Rex.
McLaren just had another event that I couldn't go to that Alistair went to. Alistair Weaver from Edmonds that I do CarCast with. And he said another just over the top. Now the house was like 50 million, and there's like an infinity pool, but the party was like all around the pool and stuff.
And the car was in the pool.
No, but there were mermaids in the pool. They hired mermaids to swim around the pool. And then like kind of under the house was a garage. But of course, you know, a house like that would have sort of a museum garage. So there was like a glass box where you can put a car and it was on display. And they put the Artura Spider in there, and cool event. I wish I could have gone to that, but
McLaren, what a $50 million house will buy you.
McLaren, I gotta say, it was my first experience. I'd never driven a McLaren. You guys have. Yeah, I had never driven one. I was impressed. It was easy to manage. Jeff had me say sport mode, put everything in sport mode. It's much more fun. I had to roll the edge of my foot on the throttle because it tends to be very abrupt. I had a passenger. My buddy JJ, he's a YouTuber and social media guy. He was a lot of fun and documented a lot of it. So, you know, I was trying to drive for my passenger and not be too excessive with anything, but it was lightning fast. Boy, those turbos come on and it just screams, but I never lost traction. It's very precise. It's almost scalpel-like. It's not like an LM car. It's not like a real track car in its precision. Maybe there's adjustments for it, but it definitely felt like a very precise street car. But the brakes were good. Nothing was too grabby or like uncomfortably abrupt. It handled well. The suspension was good. The seat was comfortable ergonomically. You're in the car in a very symbiotic way. I mean, not that I have money like that to throw around. I think if you can afford things like that, it's your, what did Jay say? It's your seventh or eighth car. Doug DeMere, I think, said it was your seventh or eighth car. Maybe, but it's great. The little aerofoil in the front. It's ugly. His was color painted. It was painted the same color of the car. So it was just kind of, from my point of view, it was just kind of there. But we didn't use it. The air bubble thing is cool, but I wanted protection from my face. I did have a bug hit me in the corner of my temple and it scared the hell out of me. And I could only imagine what it would have been if I wasn't wearing a helmet. So I would always wear a helmet.
Once you reach your destination, how long did it take to, God, I was trying to say it with a straight face, to reconfigure your hair once you took the helmet off?
Oh, you know what? I didn't worry about it. I had to blow it out of my face a couple of times because I had something that kept poking me in the eye. So I just grabbed the sweat and just kind of ran my fingers
through
it.
There you go. Use what you have.
I'm glad you got to drive the McLaren. That you said is totally spot on. The comfortable seats, except not all the cars. There's a sports seat like in the Senna. It is the most uncomfortable seat in any vehicle anywhere. The worst. And everybody who's driven the Senna press car in LA was like, worst seats ever. Like, I just don't get it. They are painful. Like, they don't even give you the car for like a week, like a lot of press cars. You get it for the day. They drop it off in the morning. You got to give it back.
I remember that.
And I was just like, I can't drive this car anymore. It is painful. Wow. It's hurting my back. It is so bad.
It's like
bad,
a hard shell with just a piece of something over it. It's like,
it's got like these pieces of foam stuck to it. It's just, it's terrible.
This was kind of that way too. It had kind of an Alcantara slip cover over the seat, but I have enough padding that I think I'd be comfortable most anything right now. I'm trying to get rid of the padding. I'm trying to go lean, but it's a slow process.
That being said, the 720S is still my favorite car to drive. I think is fantastic. I think, Brad, you would agree with me on that.
I've said it's the best supercar I've ever driven and the fastest.
And I brought it up to Alistair as well, who tests way more cars than we do over at Edmunds.com. And he's like, I agree. 720S is just got to be just the best all-around supercar. It's so fast.
Well, he had a few of those there. I think he had three of them. And one of them was his partner's that he just received in spec form. His son drove one of them. I took some footage. Beautiful, beautiful cars. Jeff's favorite was his P1. He said that his P1 is the ultimate driving car. And he said that was the favorite car of his collection as far as like to drive. His Bugatti Chiron, I think is what it was. Was another one of his hypercars. It was there. Beautiful vehicle. You know, I got to say.
I have driven that Bugatti. I drove the Pure Sport. And that's pretty amazing as well.
Yeah. A beautiful collection. Anyway, thank you, Jeff, for inviting me and allowing me to drive that amazing car. Yeah.
When you have the opportunity to choose from your cars and they include those, you know, pretty much everything's right.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll read some ads. We'll hear some ads and then we'll bring Chris on. Hold on one
minute. Great.
All right, guys. Thanks for that. We're here with Chris Mazzilli. Chris, how are you?
Awesome. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So we kind of introed this show talking about what you've been doing with Robert Downey Jr. and the shop you guys have and the sweepstakes of the cars. And I want to get into that. But some background here, you own the Gotham Comedy Club in New York. That's a very famous club, right?
Thanks. Yeah. It affords me to be in the car hobby.
I was going to ask, how does one sort of get into the other? Although we were just talking a minute ago, like, you know, we've been doing CarCast and working with a guy like Adam Carolla for a long time. And, you know, yeah. I guess Adam's comedy affords his car hobby.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There are a lot of comedians, comedy people that are into cars, kind of two go hand in hand, you know, Kevin Hart, you know, Rogan,
yeah,
Tim Allen, Steinfeld, Leno. Yeah. It's a big list.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was at Tim Allen's garage a while back as well. And he's got a cool collection of cars and likes to hot rod his cars, do some modifications and stuff. It's kind of the direction that that Kevin Hart is going with his collection. But oddly, Tim Allen has a crazy collection of vintage cell phones. He is a cell phone collector. He has like a giant glass display of like phones going way back, flip phones, the Tic Tac or whatever it's called. He's a tech fanatic. He just loves it.
I thought you were going to say watches. Interesting.
Watches would be an easy leap because so many of us enjoy watches. But cell phones. Yeah.
It's almost like down the line. He's just got that glass case of everything sitting there.
I was filming with him over there and I was just like, what's up with the phones? He's like, I like phones. What?
If I had more room, I'd have every Apple computer because I've had most of every Apple computer starting with the Lisa. You know, I would love to have a collection of old Apple computers on the wall.
Interesting you say that because another comedian and car guy, Jeff Dunham, who's a really sweet guy.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Jeff collects old Mac computers.
Ah, there you go. See, that's
yes,
too cool.
He does as well.
That and old Sony Walkmans. And
so, Chris, tell us about the shop you put together and how did you connect with Robert Downey Jr.?
So how the shop started is the guy used to work on my cars, awesome mechanic, you know, really great, just an all-around car guy. But his shop was kind of like a mess. You know, he's like a mad scientist and doing everything, which a lot of shop owners do. You know, he's billing people out, he's writing out invoices, he's working on cars, he's answering the phone. And I was like, I actually wound up, I bought a 74 big block of that from him. And I said, look, I'll buy the car in one condition if I can restore it next to you. And he's looking at me like, who's this city kid? And I literally got, you know, down and dirty. We restored the car. And I'm like, this guy's a freaking genius. You know, he just doesn't have, you know, the right help in here to have a great shop. So we became partners. And this is going back, 12, 15 years ago. And then we built out this really cool shop. And the Downey thing, it started 20 years ago. I was friends with his father. I got hired to produce a film for him, which never got made, but I met Junior over the years. And then about 4 years ago, we built a sick Ford Bronco for this producer named Jay Peterson here in New York, who owns a company called Matador Content.
Okay.
3.5 years ago, Jay was driving it out in the Hamptons, and Robert's producing partner, who's friends with Jay, saw it and said, oh my God, I love this Bronco. Who built it? Can this guy build me one? This thing is sick, and I got to show Robert it. And will this guy talk to Robert? Because Robert wants to modify his car. So Jay, not knowing that I knew Robert, said, yeah, it's my car spirit guide. This guy, Chris Mazzilli, he's done 3 cars for me. You got to talk to Chris. So, you know, Robert and I get in the phone. He's like, Mazzilli, he goes, I didn't know you built these cars. He goes, this is crazy. He goes, I want to modify my cars in an eco-friendly way because I have this green charity. Can you help me modify the car? So I said, yeah. I said, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff like that now. I said, and what do you want to do with them? He said, I want to sell them. I want to, you know, build them and then sell them to fund my green charity. That's how the whole thing started.
Yeah. Okay.
So I said, look, I could help you with that. I said, but I think you should do a sweepstakes and give the cars away to bring more attention, you know, to the charity. And we should do a TV series to support the sweepstakes. He was like, oh my God, I love that. So that's how the whole thing started.
Oh, well done. Well done. The show is great. I mean, I started watching it when it came out. And of course, when I heard you were a guest, I kind of brushed up. And, you know, some of those,
I appreciate
some of those
that.
Shows, I have to be honest, some of those shows are hard to watch. And you tend to see a pattern in the mechanical part that makes me absolutely nuts. But I got to say, your show is good. It's good. And there's only 3% of that. And it's just the nature of that type of show, but the information in that show is really impressive. And the boys will tell you, I am not an EV guy. I can appreciate them, but I'm not an EV guy. I'm more interested now. I love the movement. I love the mycelium stuff. I mean, all the information in each episode was really good. And of course, you know, you and Robert are great hosts. I was really impressed with the show. And I'm not a fan of the show. So, yeah.
I really appreciate that. It means a lot, especially coming from a fellow car guy. And I know it wasn't for everybody. And look, there's a lot of stuff that you didn't see. You know, I mean, we didn't agree on everything on building those cars out, you know, because look, I think to each his own. Hot rod has always been about choice and doing different things. And I get all that, but I'm a purist, you know. So when you're pulling an original motor out of a 65 Vet, and I got a 65 Vet, I got a 65 Fuelie, you know. And I said to Robert, I said, why don't we just put a nice LS this way? If we want to go back, you know, to 327, the original motor, you could do that. He's like, nope, because I really want to go to electric. So like, look, what am I going to do? Argue with it, you know? And I get where he's going with the whole thing. And look, the reality is a good build is a good build. And that car came out sweet, you know?
It really did. Yeah.
The amazing thing is nothing was cut inside. So that those batteries in that motor, those motors can come out and the 327 go right back in that car. So it wasn't altered in any way. And it was really important to all of us. You know, I mean, when we did the RIV, you know, we put a modern LS in it. It came out of a wrecked Chevy Tahoe. Yeah, I mean, it's not and the original motor, you know, is around, you know. So it's like we really tried to build it with that in mind that if somebody wanted to bring it back to stock, they could.
Well, and as a preservationist, it's the perfect thing to do. And there's always that argument. When people are restoring or hot rodding, do you start with the best example or do you start with a poor example and revive it again? And that's a hard argument, you know?
Yeah.
Start with the best, then you have to repair less. But
what
was most intriguing to me about the show was that, because let's face it, in television production, you want to have something that's going to attract the viewers. And that controversy and that fact of that, I mean, first of all, of course, you have Robert Downey Jr.'s name to attract, but what is the core element? And that's what I thought was interesting about it. It was really good that way.
Now,
it was definitely.
I was going to say, you guys did six cars, but three of the six were converted to EV. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, the bus, the truck, and the Vet.
And Rich from Rich Rebuilds, a YouTuber, worked on two of those, which I was really happy to see him. He's such a great
guy, isn't he? He's an awesome guy.
And
very, very smart guy. Yeah, you know, we had to build six cars in 18 months. Now, normally a build like that for one car would take that long. Mm-hmm. You know, six, it was insane. And we did it during the pandemic, so there were supply chain issues. We couldn't get parts. Stuff that I would normally get in 2 or 3 days with 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Robert was involved in every aspect of the design of those cars. So, you know, we're working, you know, off computer with him, looking, showing him stuff like, do you like this car? Do you like this? So a lot of back and forth on that. So really, they were complicated. And the other thing is, a lot of stuff that we did, it was first time. You know, we were doing things that weren't done before. When's the last time you saw a Vet converted to EV? You know, and we're talking 3.5 years ago when we started these builds. So a lot of that wasn't happening. It's more prevalent now. And you see it kind of creeping more into the hobby.
Yes.
And like, look, you know, we've taken the cars to car shows at the LA Auto Show, the New York Auto Show, and the Chicago Auto Show. And I expected a lot of pushback, but people were kind of accepting. You know, they were like kind of, hey, you know what, maybe it's not my thing, but I get it. And Robert's kind of, listen, he's talking the talk and walking the walk. He believes in this stuff, and why not? And at the end of the day, again, the cars, they're cool builds.
Yeah, they really are, and they're beautiful. The Mercedes, you know, wasn't really my flavor, but it's a cool car. Yeah. It has a great history.
Look, and the best thing about, you know, these cars, you can win them. I mean, four of them we've already picked winners for, but you know, the Vet and the VW are left, and they're two way cool cars. I mean, if you had it going to any shop, forget about my shop, to build something like that, you're looking at probably $250,000.
Easy,
you know, and it's Robert Downey Jr.'s car. I mean, you want to get on that subject. I talk to shop owners across the country. We meet with a lot of guys, you know, we're all in the same business, and everybody says the same thing. They got to raise their prices. It's like, first of all, you can't get anybody to do this type of work. Very, very hard to find good guys.
Yeah, you can't hire anybody anymore. Nobody's knowing what they're doing.
No, that's right. And then they want top dollar. Yeah. And it's like a lot of shops. We were talking to a shop, I forgot the name of it, out on the West Coast. Guys charging $300 an hour. It's like, look, that's what you need to get. You know, I pay my guys, you know, and it's like, you know, like your local gas station charges $175 an hour at 155. So if you got skilled labor, what's that worth? You know, yeah. A lot of the guys in my shop have 30, 40 years experience. Yeah. You know, they're master mechanics. It's like, so what's a guy like that worth? You know, we're paying these guys big money plus health insurance plus bonuses just to get guys on board.
And the cost of business is through the roof too, especially
the overhead, yeah.
Parts, insurance, everything's rent. Premium now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world of preservation is getting harder and harder and harder. But, you know,
you ain't kidding, brother.
I have a few cars left. I closed my shop last year and moved down to Napa for a longer season, but I kept my vintage D110 Defender and an old Mini Cooper and my Morgan three-wheeler. And part of the reason, not only do I love the experience, but I'm kind of thinking of the future. And if I'm going to keep these cars, they're my forever cars. Can I convert them in the future? And are there available conversions and systems out there already in place to make it easier? And the Morgan's a little more challenging, but it's platform, I think, what will accept an electric motor. But the big challenge is the batteries and condensing the battery packages enough to be able to use them. But those, you know, the Defender and the Mini Cooper, they're already through EV West and other companies. There's already conversion kits, drop-ins, like piece of cake.
We dealt with those guys on the bus. They were great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to ask when you started the first EV conversion compared to the last, what have you sort of learned or what did you discover on maybe even parts that are available or kits available between doing three different EV conversions now?
You know, as each, you know, day, month passes, more people are getting it. So it's getting easier and easier.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is early on. It's just like, there were a lot of like questions, like how the hell are we going to do this? You know, and a lot of back and forth with the other shops, but look, we got them done. You know, and I was saying earlier, you know, the vet and the bus, you can still win. You know, if you go to rdjdreamcars.com, you can enter to win one of those vehicles. And, you know, I make those phone calls to people at Win. First of all, nobody picks up the phone because they think they're being scammed. And even when they do, they don't believe it. You know, we had people like literally just, they're looking at my face and they're saying, oh yeah, I recognize you from the TV show, but I still don't believe it's true. I'm like, do you really think I'm going to scam you?
Yeah, you could be a deep fake.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I'm AI.
And Chris, tell our audience the way the sweepstakes works, because it's buy the tickets and, you know, tell them how it works.
It's pretty simple. You make a donation to Robert's charity, and then you're entered to win any one of the cars. And it's not like, you know, you enter to win one car and then you have to enter again for another car. If you enter now, you're entered to win, you know, the bus or the vet. And the minimum donation is cheap. I think it's like $10.
Very cool. And his website is
rdjdreamcars.com. And let me tell you, Robert's a real car guy. He's really and he's got a bunch of other stuff, and he's way into this, you know. And he was great to work with. I mean, we were all shocked the amount of time he spent on the show, and you know, and the involvement, and also like just on set. I mean, the guy was a blast. He knew everybody on set's name, you know. At the end of shooting, he got every electric bike. I mean, you know, I mean, that's a really great guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, very cool.
How many of the cars did he own before you guys even started to put together, you know, like, hey, we're doing six episodes, we got to deal with Max, we're gonna, you know, like, series out of it? Or was he like,
great question,
go find something?
No, he owned the truck for a long time.
Okay.
He owned the vet, and the Mercedes was his mom's Mercedes.
Okay.
The other ones he had always wanted. And before he even started production, he's like, find me this. And we went out and found a bunch of them, you know. The bus, it's interesting because when we went to look at that car out in the Hamptons, I was like, my partner and I were like, look, this thing's a disaster. It's going to be a rust bucket. It's all, you know, please, let's get it different. And they were like, no, you know, the guy's really good on camera. And I was like, okay. And let me tell you, we changed every single panel on that truck. The frame was rotted. We had to cut the frame rails, put new frame. I mean, it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. Nothing fit.
That's the production version of everything. It's just like, yeah, that bus is a big hunk of shit, but the guy's good on camera, and that's really all we care about, because we're the production guys, right? Like, hey, you know, now that there's a producer, there's a line producer and stuff involved, you're like, well, I don't care about the car. That's your problem, but he's good on camera.
Chris, why is it taking so long? Come on, man. Yeah.
Listen, exactly. You know, it's funny. Before we even started filming the show, they said, well, listen, we know we need some conflict. We know we need some obstacles. We need some drama. I go, are you kidding me? You see, we got to, I said, you don't have to do anything. Don't put anything. That's all going to come naturally. I promise you. I said, you guys are going to be screaming at me to get these cars done. We're not going to be able to get parts. We're doing stuff. I said, trust me, there'll be plenty of drama. And there was.
built in.
Yeah. You're like, well, you made us buy the worst VW van to start. So there's some drama that's going to be built into it already. But actually looks like a cool piece, because you've got a little bit more room to play with as far as where you're going to try to fit stuff. And
yeah, that, kind of how to package that was one of the, as far as the engine and stuff, that was one of the easier, you know, builds that way, you know. And then we actually, one of the guys in the shop came up with the idea, why don't we do like a rollout barbecue grill? So we built that into the back of the bus, and it's powered by solar panels on the roof. And the last episode, we actually took it to the beach in Malibu when we were barbecuing. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun, you know, but it's really a trick, you know.
It's cool because also you'd be like, well, we can package one electric motor and we don't have to worry about making it a high performance vehicle. You know, like we get that there's,
it's a cruiser.
There's, a Corvette involved, but we don't have to make it perform like a Corvette.
That's right. And listen, the thing had what? Out of the cars we built?
Yeah.
You know, they're all great. I like them for different reasons. I would probably say, even though we didn't do the bulk of the work of the Vette in my shop, I would say the Vette and the VW.
I can see that. Yeah.
That Vette's so unique, and it's such an icon that, you know, it's going to be loved by everyone, I think. So that's,
well, and you're a bit of a Vette guy anyway, right?
No question about it. I mean, those mid-year Vettes, you know, those 63, 67 cars are just freaking beautiful. You know, I love them.
My dad, I like everything. Yeah. My dad is it's an early 427 Stingray. So 66, 65?
Yeah.
It's 66. Yeah, 66. It's a pre-badge. So it's a very, very rare car. Red, beautiful. And he drives it down in Southern California.
Oh, still got it as it now? Wow. Yeah. So it's probably the early ones were initially rated at 450 horsepower. And then for insurance purposes, they changed it to 425. But they really were 450, you know. And that's actually one of the fastest production Vettes ever. Those cars were running in 66, 12/8 and a quarter. I mean, that's fast today. Think about it. For a street car, bone stock, you know.
Yeah.
You throw slicks and headers on that car, you're in the 11s right out of the factory.
I've driven it a couple times. It drives nice. It drives nice. It was, I think, the first car since I was a preteen that we washed together after the trip. He drove that. I drove my Defender from Marin all the way to Dana Point, and then the next morning we woke up and washed it together and fueled it up, and he got pulled over. It was a good day, so I gotta say I'm sentimental to that car right now too. So it's a nice.
How awesome is it that you have your dad to share the hobby with? You know, I mean, I'm lucky. That's how my dad worked for Chevrolet as a kid. You know, he was a guy pumping gas at a gas station. Local Chevy dealer manager came by and said, "Angelo, come work for me." So, you know, as far back as I can remember, I've been a car guy, and you know, he was a big street racer. You know, he ordered a 57 Bel Air convertible, but he couldn't get one. With a 270 horse motor. So we got a 58 Bel Air with 348 tri power, 3-speed on the column, and Posi, which was the first full year they offered Posi. And he said he used to demolish everything. He said the only thing back then that beat him were Vettes. He said, I lost a Pontiac Bonneville, which was the sister car to the Impala and Bel Air for Pontiac. He said it had a supercharger, and he goes, and the guy's girlfriend was driving it. And it's like, you could tell it bothered him that. Not only did he lose to a Pontiac, but the guy's girlfriend was driving the car. But that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still around.
Being an East Coast guy, I have to ask you this, and it sounds like you're really deep into it. Are you familiar with Baldwin Motion at all?
Oh, of course. Joel Rosen. You kidding me?
There we go. Obsessed. There we go. I have one, and that's why
we're do you really?
I've got Baldwin Motion Vega. It's Phase 3 Vega.
Do you know how rare
it's Reggie Jackson's collection? Yeah.
Wow.
Great car.
Yeah, it's cool.
Wait, Chris, I don't mean to interrupt, but you mean something that Brad has and talks about all the time is actually important? Like it's a real car?
Hey. these West Coast guys don't know anything. When I bought the car way back, I used to be partners with Boyd Coddington, and I bought it and acquired it back then. And Boyd was even like, it's just a V8 Vega. I go, no, it's not just a V8 Vega. You know, you're saying, Joel,
He was a genius. I mean, his cars were all sub-11-second cars. Matter of fact, I did another series for History Channel called The Lost Corvettes. We found the original 36 Corvettes that VH1 gave away in 1989 and restored all those cars and did another sweepstakes. The 67 in that collection happened to be maroon, the same color as a Joel Rosenbilt car with a hardtop. So there's a very famous Corvette called the Co-Motion Corvette.
Know exactly which one it
is. Yeah, it was a 427, 435 car. The owner, this guy Charlie Snyder and Joel Rosen, ordered an L88 over the counter, put that thing in it, and it was running in the tens. It was the fastest car around. And he used to race in Connecting Highway in Queens, New York. Charlie got sent to Vietnam, got killed a month after being there. His friends took the car and campaigned it in his name, and won a national title. I think the last day they raced it, they put it in a garage somewhere in Queens, had like 1,200 miles. And this little kid saw it, and then years later went and found the car and bought the car, and that still exists today. So we built a replica of that car. It's just it's a killer car. With Joel Rosen, anything that guy touched is big money.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
So what's in your garage, Chris?
As I was saying earlier, I got a 65 Corvette coupe, black Fuelie.
Yeah.
Was originally a side pipe car, but somebody added pipes to it. I got 69 big block that convertible 427 390 car, 71 big block coupe. It's all original, unrestored car. 74 big block convertible, 4-speed car, all original, 19,000 miles, unrestored. We built a car for History Channel. It was called the Lost Corvette. They never made an 83 Corvette. So my shop built what kind of my vision of the car was, and I have that. And I'm working on a couple other things right now, but that's it at the moment.
Yeah. Hardcore Ford guy.
Yeah. It seems like you're,
listen, I was going to say, I appreciate Fords. I love the bosses, the Boss 302s, Boss 429s, because Larry Shinoda, who worked for GM and designed, had a heavy handed design of C2 and C3 Corvette, left, went to Ford. He designed those cars. So, I'm not an anti Ford guy. I love everything. I mean, I feel blessed to be in this hobby. I mean, I can stay on the phone with you guys for 7 hours today.
You know, when you were doing the Corvette and you're doing an EV conversion for Robert Downey Jr., being a Corvette guy, did you look at it and go, I know how difficult this is going to be? Or were you thinking, I'm familiar with Corvettes, this will be an easy project?
Oh, and listen, we farmed that one out, but I knew it was not going to be easy. And it was challenging. No question about it,
Everybody restores a Corvette is just like, it's just so much body work. It's a fiberglass body. It's like, I know what I'm in for. It's just a different animal. Just completely. Yeah. It's just like restoring a car. And then the gaps and the body lines, getting them straight. It's just
everything that mounts too. All the mounts break and fracture.
Yeah, we have this conversation with customers all the time. It's like, because sometimes they'll say, well, it's going to cost me more to restore the car than the car is worth. And I go, exactly. I cannot tell you how many times I've talked people out of paint jobs with their cars. Cause I go, look, you're going to spend a lot of money and it's not worth it. The paint's pretty nice. We'll clean it up, drive the car. You don't need perfect paint. I'm telling you, don't. And looking at me like I'm nuts. Like, you own the show. I'm like, I'm telling you, don't wrap do it.
Yeah. Yeah. These days, wrap or something, Fred was restoring us. A Porsche, and he had all the body work done, got it really clean, got it done in primer. And then they're like, for now to do a show quality paint, you're now talking another, $15,000-$20,000 just to get a good paint. He's like, just wrap it.
More.
He's like, you did all the body work. It's straight. Yeah, 30, it's like,
yeah, show quality paint's more 50 to 75, even 100.
Yeah. He's like, I'm there. Yeah. He's like, the body work's done. The car is good. It's straight. And it's got a primer on it. It's like, just let's wrap it and we can do whatever we want with it. And then he goes, and then the next owner can decide they want to change the color or paint it or whatever. And actually, Magnus ended up buying the car. Magnus Walker ended up buying the car with the wrap on it.
Oh, really?
He still has it wrapped. Yeah.
So now with this EV experience under your belt, any other projects, personal or outside in the EV world? Is that
you're done with
interest
EVs
for
now.
You? Or are you done?
No, I'm totally. And we get a lot of phone calls to the shop to do those types of conversions. I'm like, look, I'm totally interested. It's not to say I never would do it. I mean, our business has changed, as you guys probably know, a lot more resto-mod type things. If you go back 10 years, most of our restorations were going back to factory spec.
Yeah.
Now 80% are resto-mods. And I got to tell you, some of the things we're building, they're just sick. So for me, I think the next time I'd like to build is probably C3 coupe vet, but a resto mod, you know, Art Marson chassis, put a modern LS in it. So I can just, you know, drive it everywhere. It'll look cool and drive like a new car, not have to worry about it.
Oh, every year we pop over, we pop over to the SEMA show every year. We do work over there. And I don't know, we've all been going 15, 20 years.
It's the best.
Like that. But yes, as they're trying to embrace new technology and even power sports, we're seeing EV conversion startup companies pop up.
Yeah. Crate Motors.
And there's sort of like a crate engine version, a crate motor version of EV. And there are still some limitations. The issue so far, and it's gotten better over the years, is there's no way to do an all-encompassing package. They can't go, this includes battery and wiring and connectors. Mm. And, you know, because it's just, they just don't know. And it's not like, oh, you know, we're going to give you so many feet of wire and you just cut to fit and you kind of make it happen on your own. When Ford did their F-100 and they announced the Illuminator electric EV crate motor and they did the truck with it, but still they needed to go to like AEM and get, the brain box for it, basically get an ECM for it. And then they pulled all these parts off the Mustang Mach-E from the charging points and the batteries and stuff like, and it still was a lot of work to do. And then when it's done, and this is something for you guys, is so much time and consideration is put into the sound and aerodynamics of a modern day EV vehicle, because the wrong shape on an antenna or even a side mirror creates so much noise that when you don't have engine noise anymore, you're like, what's going on? It Why is this thing so loud? It's like, all I hear is wind noise. So you have to make subtle adjustments to make that. So even when they did that truck, it came out cool. But as they went on a press tour with it, even like when Leno drove it, he's like, yeah, there's a lot of wind noise. You're like, yeah, because it's a 50-year-old truck. And we realized there was no aerodynamics involved at all.
So you're saying my old Land Rover and Mini Cooper are just going to be two bricks going
the air. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny, you mentioned sound, and I know it probably sounds crazy, but for me, like, one of the biggest knocks with EVs is like, look, I love the sound of the old cars. Like, I stopped that 65 Vet. It's like, I mean, it's just, you know, it's intoxicating. I love that sound. I love it, you know. Here, Tesla whiz by at 120 miles an hour. Yeah, I mean, listen, the Model S is a cool car. I don't take anything away from it, but it's a different thing.
No, you're right. Go to a show your head turns when you hear that cammed Camaro coming into the parking lot.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Hans Zimmer should change his focus from making new audio
BMW sounds
for startups, and he should start designing sounds that tires make. So when the tires are rolling down the road, they're musical. Or they develop lines in the road. Where is that place where they have the lines in the road?
It's somewhere like in between here and Arizona or Nevada where they cut lines into the road. And when you go over it at a certain speed, it plays a song.
It's a record player. Yeah. I mean, let's make these EV cars record players, right?
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
That's basically what that's it is. Hilarious. But
it's a thing. Let's do it.
Okay, when is the official end? How long can people still register for the sweepstakes? Do you know, Chris?
So the vet ends June 13th, and the bus is it's July 16th.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you guys,
you want to get in there?
You still got some time for that. Go to RDJ Dream Cars. You'll be able to sign up and buy your ticket and stuff for that.
It's easy.
Check out the show on Max. It's an original series streaming on Max. Downey Dream Cars is the TV show. And certainly if you're going to be cruising through New York, you have to stop by the Gotham Comedy Club.
Or the shop. Yeah. By the way, we're planning on going to SEMA this year. We're building a car. This thing is going to be sick. Guy had the car since he's 17 years old, 72 Chevelle, and we're doing it all out. Art Marson chassis, Texas Speed LS with like 1,100 horsepower. So we'll be out there. We're hoping to have it done by then, you know.
Have you figured out where it's going to be? Do we know, like, what are you partnering with a company for to get some booth space?
You know, we have good relationships with the TV network. So, you know, it'll be with Discovery or History or somebody.
Yeah, right on. That makes sense.
We're going to have to teach you the West Coast sick. It's chin to the chest, and it's sick. More of a bass sick, but the low end sick.
Listen, I'm all about it. You guys teach me. That's fine. I'm a good learner.
We'll look forward to seeing you out at SEMA because we're there every year. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Well, you guys are great. I look forward to doing this again.
Chris, thank you really much for coming
on.
Nice thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Of course, you guys can catch us at shiftandsteer.com, and we'll catch you next week.
And awesome. Check out our website. We'll have all of the links to where you can sign up for the Downey Dream Cars and get all the information on the show as well. And of course, find me at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram and go get some Bond Speed wheels.
Right on. Thanks, Aaron, guys.
I'm all over the place. It's Aaron Hagar. And make sure to find Chris because his stuff is sick.
By the way, guys, congrats on all the shows. What are you, like 430 something shows now?
This is 438.
Yeah.
We're like a decade. Been around a while.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Thanks, guys.
That's impressive. All right, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be back next week. And that's a promise, not a threat.